Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Discovering Journeys, the podcast where individuals from all walks of life come together to share their experiences. I am your host, Sujala, and in each episode, I bring you unique perspectives from those who have embraced change and growth. Whether you're seeking inspiration, fresh insights, or simply curious about different life paths, this podcast will connect you with journeys that resonate and inspire. Please note, the content shared on this platform is solely for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes. The opinion shared by the guests are their own personal views, as it is based on their personal journeys and should not be construed as professional advice. Thank you. In this episode, we are joined by Lindsay Ford, who loves helping women break free from fear, limiting beliefs and thought patterns, empowering them to fully understand their intuition and create their dream lives. Lindsay shares her own transformative journey from stepping away from a six-figure corporate career to prioritizing balance, fulfillment, and family. She opens up navigating an amicable divorce, co-parenting, homeschooling, and embracing life's changes. Her story redefines the norms around motherhood, success, and fear, offering powerful insights into resilience, financial independence, and the strength of intuition. Join us for a conversation packed with lessons and reflections. Let's dive in. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome to my podcast.
Oh, I'm super excited to have this conversation with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
One of the first thing which struck me about was one of your Instagram posts where you said that you could not think about going back to a six-figure salary. I just want you to tell me what was that phase like, because it's not an easy decision when you're financially independent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I would say I would be happy to earn six figures any day of the week. but going back to that career, and what, you know, I was, you know, from an early age, just like working my way up the ladder, you know, with a goal of making a decent income, six figures. I made it by the time I was around 30 years old, and then having kids, it just, the hustle that was required, the way I was earning that money, being in that career, I was successful. I was really well known in my industry and well respected. And it fulfilled a purpose. Like achieving that really was really good for my self-esteem and my ego and all of that. But then when I added kids into the mix, and I just felt like I never saw my kids. You know, work was a hustle, but then the home life was a hustle too. Like every morning was just a sprint to get out the door, get the kids ready and out the door. And then the evenings were really no different. It was picking them up. At one point they were at two separate locations between childcare and school, and then just getting dinner on the table and them being quite young. Bedtime was around seven. So it was just like this mad scramble. And I sort of checked all the boxes on paper. I had the good career. I had the husband. I had the house. I had the two kids. And my quality of life was so low. I just felt like I was suffocating. I wasn't having fun. I was just sprinting. I was sprinting through my life, and I was missing my kids growing up. Like I was paying other people to raise my kids. And it got to a point where I knew that career wasn't what I wanted to do long term, but I didn't know what I wanted to do instead of it. And because I was making such a decent income, I made way more than my husband. It was a hard thing to walk away from. I really had to sort of unravel all of my beliefs about myself. I had to unravel what it meant to be successful. Had a lot of conversations with my husband at the time, of just fears around money. And, you know, it was walking away from a salary. But when we really broke it down, it was what we decided to do, what we were comfortable with was, you know, what were our expenses for over the course of a year? Let's put that in savings. Let's look at our savings. And it was really a decision to try it for a year. And at that point, I had already started a business doing positive parenting coaching. And I was like, let me take a year to see if I can build a business, and then we'll reassess in a year. So between the time I really decided to quit my job and when I actually walked out the door was about 8 months. And we were just like socking away savings. So it wasn't like an instantaneous thing. And I would say from the time I knew that career wasn't meant for me till the time I walked out the door, that was probably about like 7 years. Like it was just like this long, like it wasn't an instant decision. It was really just feeling my way through it and feeling my way through a lot of fear. So it was just, you know, one of the things that I've really learned over the years of making these big life decisions is there's no permanent decision. I knew that was a career I could go back to. I knew I was very employable. I knew I could go get a job somewhere else. So it was really just, you know, a decision to bet on myself and trial it for a year and reassess. So that's all it was.
Okay. Did you feel burnout during this time when you were hustling with the family, work?
You know what? That's a term I really have never really resonated with. So I don't really know how to answer that question because I don't really understand exactly what burnout is. I was struggling. I was stressed. I can look back now and say, like, my nervous system was shot. I know I was going through nothing major in terms of health issues, but I know like adrenal fatigue, and there was stuff going on in my body that was showing like that stress, that sustained stress. That was my everyday norm that I didn't really understand how to do differently. I can look back and say, like, you know, those were habits that I had to get out of. And even when I actually quit my job and just was doing my business, that stress actually didn't go away, which was real when I realized it was more of an internal pattern than whatever was happening in my external circumstances.
It must have been a hard decision to take. This is such a situation where many women are caught between. Didn't it scare you?
It scared me in the sense that, yeah, to be then dependent on my husband. Although I would say for the first year, I didn't see it like that because I had, you know, based on my salary, we had been able to sock away all that savings. So I didn't feel dependent on him, but it shifted the dynamic in our relationship for sure. It, you know, I think what it really comes down to is, do you believe you can earn money again if you need to? I still had savings. I didn't go through all my savings. The financial independence piece, I do believe is important. And I really do advocate for women to have a source of income. But I also feel there's these periods in our lives where we don't need to be hustling. And, you know, there's a lot I went through in the years following leaving that job where I can now look back on as that was time for my family. And I felt like such a failure career-wise. But now from where I am sitting a few years later, I'm like, no, that was, you know, Lindsay back then in that hustle career, just wanting more time with her kids. I got that tenfold, like in the following years. And I can now look back on that, like so much of that was a gift and is now fueling how I work now and how I earn money now, because I have tasted that free life with my kids where we had our slow days, where we had the quality time, where our relationship was super close. And
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I have no desire to go back into the 9-to-5 workforce and that hustle, because I can't imagine, like, it just feels so suffocating and so against what I'm trying to build. So all of these pieces have just been like pieces of the puzzle that are driving where I'm going now in terms of the family life I want to have and the career and the way I earn money. Like, it's all just pieces of the puzzle that have been building to what I think is going to be a pretty epic life. And it is already starting to be just like this really beautiful balance between work and family.
That's beautiful when it works out. And sometimes the situation allows it and sometimes it doesn't. Somewhere when you take this decision, I believe you should also have a gut feeling that things will work out. And if not, you will still be able to kind of carry on or go back to what you were doing before. I think this scares a lot of people, and it also takes a lot of courage to take that call.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, that pendulum for me swung, like, it was heavy career and then heavy family. And when I was in that career, I felt like I was failing as a parent. And then when I was in that, like, the opposite end where I was heavily into family, I felt like I was failing from a career financial perspective. And now it's just like rebalancing the two. So yeah, I just wanted to share.
Yeah, kudos to you for balancing. It's because it's never an easy thing. Coming to the topic of divorce, how did you navigate?
With the kids into the picture and breaking the news to them, and making them understand, and their innocent, straightforward questions are one of the toughest, I believe. So please share your experience.
Yeah. And at that time, it's funny because when we decided to get divorced, I wasn't making any money. I was fully into family mode. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was homeschooling my kids. We had such a great relationship. And I don't remember actually ever sitting down and having a conversation with our kids. We just sort of talked about it in our day-to-day, like, mommy's not going to live here anymore. And this is what our next few months are going to be like. And, you know, we've decided we don't want to be married together or be married anymore, but we're still a family. And we still, like, I was very lucky. My ex-husband and I had a very amicable divorce separation. We always, you know, wanted to do what was best for the kids and our family. And like, I continue to want him to thrive and he continues to want me to thrive. And so it's not to say we haven't had our moments and our times, but I feel like the bulk of that was actually before we made the decision. And then when we made the decision, it was like a weight lifted off of both of us. And we actually stayed living together for another 5 or 6 months after the decision was made. We didn't tell anyone. We just sort of needed to sort of sit in it and, like, what did that look like? You know, for me, one of the scariest things up until that decision was not having an income. And then putting a plan in place. And what happened when I moved out is I had really wanted to travel. So I actually cashed in some savings and went on a 5-month trip to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Because at that point I was like, okay, if I stay here, I feel like I need to rent an apartment and get a job. And I had zero desire to go back into that hustle. And I had really wanted to travel, and I really had wanted to continue this homeschooling life and this slow life with my kids and earn money somehow doing that. So I wanted to travel and go figure this out and ask everybody along the way. So when it came to telling the kids, I was moving out. And I was taking them on vacation. Like I was going on vacation for 3 months with my kids. So it was, you know, this was, we just sort of laid out the plan for the next like 5 or 6 months. We said, you know what, you're going to be with mommy in Costa Rica for 2 months. And then we actually did, like all four of us in Mexico, visiting his parents for Christmas. We wanted to spend Christmas together. And then I continued on to Bali after Christmas, and they came back to Canada and was full time with their dad and back into the public school system. So we just sort of, it wasn't a big deal conversation. We just said, this is our plan for the next 5 or 6 months. And after that, we don't know. And we'll continue to talk about all the feelings that come up. We'll continue to talk about what the plan is when we know, but you know, we're going to go on this adventure for 5 months, and we're going to have fun in Costa Rica. We're going to have fun in Mexico. And then they're going to go experiment with living with daddy full time, because at that time I was a stay-at-home mom and he worked a lot. So he had sort of checked out as a parent, which I think is kind of common in a lot of like where the mom stays at home and the dad just feels like he has to work and work and work to support the family. And I really feel like that was a really great chance for him to, sink or swim, right? Like that was, because I really do feel that if I was around, he would have leaned on me a lot. And that wouldn't have been good. Like he needed to learn how he wanted to parent and show up. So we just kind of, you know, even to this day, like I still don't have a permanent home. I've lived with my kids in Bali. They're back with their dad right now. I still see them, but it's just sort of this influx state. And it's been 2 years now. And we just, you know, let them know as we know what to expect. And I think when we let them know what to expect, I think they're not surprised by anything, right? Like there's safety in knowing what to expect. And then there's been the conscious effort to stay connected, because we're doing parenting so differently. And because there's international travel involved, like I just had the kids for 6 months in Bali earlier this year, and they talk to their dad every day. Like they video chatted him every day. And when I've been away, they video chat me, and it's a different sort of relationship, but it's still maintaining that connection. Like they've never felt, from what I can tell, like abandoned by either of us.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful when you are so open and give them also the space and you also the space to, you know, amicably move around and try to figure out the new dynamics of the family. What was the toughest question your kids have asked about divorce?
I can't, you know, what's coming to mind is for about a year or more, my son, you know, if I drop him off at his dad's, like, why don't you stay? Like, when are you coming back home? Like it was almost like he was never like overly upset, but he was like, stop being ridiculous, mom. Of course you're moving back in here. Like when are you like, stop playing around. So that's been, and it's funny because he doesn't do that with his dad. I've asked him, like, is he talking about me coming back here? He's like, no, he's never mentioned it. But with me, he's like, basically, mom, like, stop playing around, move back in here. Like, when are you coming home? But apart from that, there hasn't been anything, because we haven't made a big deal about it and there hasn't been a lot of tension. So I really feel like from their perspective, it's just, the hardest things are to navigate have been truthfully when, you know, when we've been away for 6 months and they've missed their dad, right? Like those are big, or when I've been away for a couple months and haven't seen them and they miss me, like those are the harder things to navigate.
Okay, so you said you homeschooled, and you have also sent your kids to the conventional schooling system as well. So I would love to know this: why the switch, and you know, and how hard was it to homeschooling?
Yeah, the switch. I think I always like loved the idea of homeschooling, but I never would have done it had it not been forced And I would say forced through the pandemic, like it got really bad.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
In the public school system here for my daughter, her stress levels were through the roof. And it was like, there was an immediate decision that needed to be made. Something was very wrong. And she couldn't articulate it. She was only, I think she was like six at the time. And we made a decision to pull her out. So it was very, last minute, unplanned. Then I was just like, okay, because her mental state, because she was so stressed out and anxious, I really needed to prioritize that in the beginning. And that's when I put sort of work on hold for a little bit and was like, I need to sort this out. And for the first month, maybe month and a half, I didn't do any academics with them. I just prioritized calming her nervous system. And that was hard because we were so conditioned. Like, even her, I remember her first day of homeschooling, she's like, I'm not learning. Can we keep learning? And I'm like, everything's learning. I was like trying to be really chill because I didn't want it to be super structured in the beginning because of her nervous system and her mental state. And she was really stressed out about like, what's next? What's next? Like that conditioning of just like the school system of just like, go, 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 keep going, one after the other. And, you know, for the first bit of homeschooling, like sort of after that period, I was like, oh, you know, like, let's just go off of what they're interested in. So if they'll ask a question, like, you know, what's the difference between a butterfly and a moth? Like, they ask really good questions at that age. So then we would go to the library and research it. We would watch videos on it. I would get them to write in their notebooks about like, I just sort of structured it around what they were interested in learning and sort of built the other pieces into it. And then, I realized that they loved that, but I didn't love planning all that. I was not a teacher. I didn't want to be doing like lesson planning after they went to bed. I wanted to be working on my business and doing other things. So it was really this evolution of different trial and errors. I ended up finding a curriculum that I absolutely loved out of the US. And we just focused on basically language and math. And I didn't worry about the other stuff because, you know, even things like science and environment, I felt like as they were asking questions, we were investigating all of that. So I didn't feel the need to put any structure around those types of subjects. It was really just, I want them to learn how to read. I want them to be able to write and I want them to understand math. And that was it.
Tell me about the parenting coach phase.
So I actually started that business and that line of work a few years before I ended up quitting my job. So I was doing that in my mornings, in my evenings, in my weekends, teaching workshops a few times a year, like nothing major because I really couldn't handle much. And then in that first year after I quit my job, which funny enough, it was like a couple of weeks before the pandemic hit. So that year was when I wrote my book, The Positive Parenting Framework. And the momentum was building in that business. And even though I had to shift from a pandemic perspective, the book did really well. And I wrote a book with two kids home. And I was continuing to do that business. It was really like probably a year to a year and a, no, I would say like a, probably a solid year after I quit my job was really when that business started to, I'll say fall apart, but it was really just like life circumstances were just pulling my attention elsewhere. Like my homeschooling came up, and then my dad was sick in the hospital and my mom couldn't care for him properly. So I was taking care of my parents for a period too. And it was just like life just kept throwing me these things that, you know, I felt like a failure at the time, because I'm like, I wrote a book with two kids home. Like, I should be able to handle all this. I should be able to do it. But it was just like life was throwing these things at me that was just like, stop your career, stop everything. Like just put this on hold. And it was like, I'll say like life just like beat that business out of me. It felt like my creativity died for it. My inspiration died. I beat myself up a lot about that. But that business was my baby. I loved doing that until I didn't. And then I had to let go of that, a quote unquote failure. And I was like, that was really hard to let go of. That was probably a year and a half later that I let go of, that I formally let go of it, because it was, it just needed to go. But I was hanging on to it because it was something I wanted, you know, as someone who has always been successful in whatever she tried it, it just felt like, you know, I had to make it successful, but it wasn't coming easy. It wasn't fun. It felt more heavy.
Was it your passionate project?
I was so attached to it, and it did good for a while. Like, I loved teaching. I loved helping parents. I was inspired by what was going on in my own life with my kids and what I was learning, and I was happy sharing. Now I can look back at that particular business as a really great foundation for the business I'm doing now. So I didn't see that at the time, because I was literally like saying goodbye to that business as I was saying goodbye to my marriage and starting to travel and being like, what am I doing with my life? It was just sort of all at the same time. And so I didn't know what was next for me. So everything felt like it was crumbling around me, even though I was headed on this vacation and this exploration. It was just like everything in my life was crumbling around me, and I didn't know what I was walking into.
How were these transitions? Did it take an emotional toll on you?
Yeah, such big transitions, a lot of them all at once. I mean, I've definitely had my moments of, what am I doing with my life? Sobbing by myself. But I had done enough personal development stuff by that point, and then I continue to do a lot. I've done a lot more in the last couple of years. And so I knew how to sit with my emotions. I knew even from teaching parenting that one of the best ways through all of the emotional outbursts from our kids is just let that wave rot, like just let it crash over you and just like wait for it to, yeah, just wait for it to go. And so I was able to sit with a lot of my fears, and I understood that fear likes to be general, which means that if you start to ask your fear questions and try to get really specific about what is bringing up the fear in you, it just kind of either fades away or that problem in front of you becomes really, really manageable. So for like a big decision, like walking away from a marriage or even just like going into the unknown of traveling, you know, what specifically was I afraid of? You know, for the travel piece, like really what it came down to is like, I would look like an idiot. I would lose some money. But I also knew that at any point along that process, like I could change my mind and come back and get a job. Like I could, like there was always these ways of going back. And I'm not necessarily saying I could go back to that marriage, but what was the security pieces of that marriage? And to me, the security piece was really like we stayed together for a while after we really should have ended it because of finances. And we had this conversation, but like, cause we valued homeschooling the kids, we valued how we were raising them. And we didn't see another way to do this without being together financially. Like, I couldn't afford a place. He couldn't afford to pay for a second place in terms of like spousal support and all that stuff. So, you know, it was just really like getting specific about what it was that I was afraid of, and not, and then not being afraid of all of the emotions that come up, because the emotions that come up, the self-criticism that comes up, all of sort of the limiting beliefs, like they're just, you know, they're coming up, and I understand this better now. They're coming up because you're ready to move through them and you're ready to heal them, and they're not going to consume you. So I can sit now in like, you know, a puddle of just like, what am I doing with my life? And know that it will pass in like, you know, an hour or a few days, but it doesn't. So you can start to learn how to really like feel it all and understand that it's not really you. Like, it's just this part of you that you're moving. It is this thing that you're moving through, but like the higher version of yourself, like, is just like, yeah, this is totally fine. Like, just move through it and move on. We like, so you can kind of get, you know, experiencing it and then also observing it.
I love what you said about the fear, that it either it fades away or either it becomes so prominent. I love that. That is so true. Sometimes we just don't want to know what that fear is, and we like to live in that fear.
We think that fear comes up because, you know, and it's meant to stop us. And then we just turn and run away. Like, we're so afraid of feeling fear, of asking it questions and getting specific. It's fascinating to watch. And that, like, fear is one of the things that I love to talk about now in my this new version of myself, because I see the value in sitting with fear. And I see now that fear is just a part of the process. It's not there to stop you. It's not there to cause you issues, and it cannot be avoided.
And I also believe that the more you suppress, it just becomes a bigger fear of something which is not known. It's like, unless and until you have to enter the room of fear and see what it is, you just can't overcome.
No, it'll be there and it'll get louder and louder until you pay attention to it. So
if it's smaller, we are very good at ignoring it.
So good at ignoring it.
Absolutely. Okay, let's speak about mom guilt, which is, I don't know, is it a conditioning of the society which is given to us, or we ourselves have grown up with it, so we sometimes we don't even feel it's wrong. We feel we have to take that mom guilt on our head.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of our conditioning. Now, I don't know when that conditioning would have started, because like the moms have been the primary caregiver for young ages. And how most of us have been brought up, it's to prioritize the needs of others or the expectations of others, without honoring what is truly, you know, our own or our perspective or what is in our best interest. And I think so much of that is in our conditioning as we're being raised to be good, to do what's expected. And if you don't, if you sort of break the rules or go off script, like, you're bad in some way. And that translates to every aspect of our life, including our parenting. Like, we're, you know, I looked at, you know, when I was doing the positive parenting coaching stuff, and even before, I was so, I felt so suffocated by the messaging that was out there for moms. It's like, I remember shopping for a stroller and car seat, and it was like all these different options. And it was like, so as not to suffocate the baby, or don't leave the baby here too long or their head will get flat. It's just so much like fear-based. I really think that we should just embrace that we are going to screw up our kids in some way, shape, or form. It's just to what degree and how much, because you can't know how they're perceiving the world. But my point is just we've just been so conditioned to be afraid, or if we're prioritizing ourselves, like, what kind of mother prioritizes herself over her kids? Isn't that selfish? Like, it's just, I think it's the conditioning, and it takes a lot of internal work and reflection and willing to sit with your own stuff and your own beliefs to really move through it.
And I also believe it takes a courage to break this mold of, you know, whatever construct we have been given. I remember reading this, can't pour from an empty cup. So when we are depleted and we are, you know, don't have patience, we just can't give our kids that environment of calmness because you're stressed. I am glad that it is maybe not in a larger percentage, but there is some percentage which they have opened up to this. So it's a good change, I believe.
Yeah. And you know what, with that cup thing, I heard something recently of like, you can't give to someone else unless your cup is overflowing. And that I thought was like a really different perspective, because I've certainly heard like from an empty cup. But yeah, if your cup is not full, then you can't share that like joy and abundance with anyone else, because you're not filled up. And so you're going to come at it from even a slightly depleted place. It's interesting. It's interesting, these little analogies to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Lastly, tell me about your biggest challenge.
You know what? The biggest thing for me, I mean, we all have limiting beliefs and they're all, you know, they're ours to deal with. But one of the big things that came up for me was this leaving my kids. But when I started traveling by myself for 2 months was my first trip without my kids, the guilt that came up, how can you leave your kids? What kind of mother leaves her kids? And then when I came back from that trip, I knew that I was not coming back to settle down. I was not coming back to get a house or a home. I was coming back and I was going to be staying with my parents for, I think, 5 months. And I could feel that in my intuition. And all of this has been driven by intuition, which we haven't mentioned, but that's important because it's been this very strong intuitive pull this whole time. And to prioritize that, like, I remember, I'm like, what kind of mom doesn't have a home for her kids? What kind of mom is like, it's just, yeah. And I know that is not going to be perhaps relatable to a lot of people listening, but we do have this sort of script running in the background of our minds of, you know, judging ourselves for, you know, on whether we're a good mom or not. For me to prioritize myself and my intuition and what was pulling me and lighting me up over from, you know, external appearances, and even from my perspective for a while, over what was best for my kids. That was something that I really needed to work through. And we see this on smaller scales of just even like taking a day to yourself or asking for help and just like parking your butt on the couch and saying, I'm going to take a lazy day. Like I could not do that before. I could not. It was really hard because I was just like, I need to just be in this go, go, go. There's so much to do. And I just couldn't rest. I couldn't, like, I just had such a hard time with that. And what I have learned is that my kids get to witness me prioritizing myself, which also gives them permission to prioritize themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Okay, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time, and it was lovely having you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.